swagger, okay? Regardless of what happens out there, doesn't matter. Keep your swagger.
Hey, 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 everybody. We are Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. I am Zach Vogel. With me today, Mike Rogerson.
Hey there.
What's up, Rog?
How you doing?
Rogy Rog. Rog, not Raj. All right. We have the week preview. I know I've been kind of playing my weeks a little differently. I'm not going for the straight up week long pickup like we've been kind of usually talking about on these week previews. I've been splitting my, you know, week up kind of like almost in half or even into thirds. So I'm looking for somebody to pick up at the beginning of the week, and then I switch them out for somebody, you know, going into the weekend, or, you know, I'll do a Monday, Tuesday thing and then do a Wednesday, Thursday, and then like a rest of the weekend pickup kind of thing. Have you been like doing the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, I always do my start of the week pickups, but I've definitely been breaking things down into like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday type of pickup, and then looking at who's got a good weekend. But yeah, like, you got to separate it into two or three parts. And at the very least, like, I got burned 2 weeks ago by burning all my pickups by Wednesday. And then, you know, and then you get the influx of weekend COVIDs and injuries and schedule changes and whatnot, and then you're just screwed, right? So
fantasy hockey, she's a bitch.
Oh yeah. And you definitely gotta at the very least save at least one or two pickups till the weekend. It's a must these days.
Yeah, because you never know what's gonna happen on Saturday or Sunday, where, you know, it might be up big and then all of a sudden you're not on a Sunday morning.
Well, I mean, like, say yesterday, yesterday I got burned actually, because checked my Canucks goalies and they have Halak in the game, giving Demko a night off after getting pelted by Tampa. And then I go turn the game on and there's Demko warming up because Halak was in COVID protocol by the time the game started.
Because Halak got put on protocol. That's true.
And Demko just did the toughest 4-game road trip in history by himself.
He must be a tough son of a bitch. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude.
He got rocked like this whole week. I feel bad for the guy. Because I like Thatcher Demko.
And he ended up with the win today. I mean, way to go, buddy. I was just like, what? Just throw the guy to the wolves. Yeah. But
against the Caps. That was the one thing. That was the only game today. So it was like, yesterday was the day. If you won yesterday, that's all you needed to do was get through yesterday. And, you know, likely you were going to be fine. Enough about all that jazz. Let's get into the injury list. Let's take a stop in the morgue here. Got Jason Robertson. He didn't play yesterday against Tampa because of lower body injury. Now, I can't find much about this, but I will say he is completely shot out of freaking Canada this year. 32 points in 28 games. My question to you is this and is he real? Because I don't know why, but I've always been kind of skeptical of, you know, Jason Robertson, Dallas, all of that jazz, even though I kind of like them. Like, it's a really weird dynamic between myself and the Stars. I want to trust them, but I don't.
Well, I could tell you I do not trust Dallas for a second. But even through last year, Robertson is surprisingly consistent. He's on his career, he's just under a point per game. It's a season and a half, essentially. And no one really expected him to be this awesome, especially on a Dallas team where he wasn't meant to be in the top six to start with. Dallas doesn't score. All their old scorers are garbage. Robertson just keeps on trucking, man. He's fantastic. I think he's for real. I mean, there's been no period in his, you know, year and a half long career where he's gone more than three games without a point. He doesn't tend to have these big flashy games. He's just always getting points.
He's consistent.
And it makes no sense because Dallas over the last 2 years has been one of the most inconsistent teams who will win 8 in a row, lose 10 in a row, win 5 in a row. Pavelski's the MVP, then he doesn't score for a month, you know?
Well, that's part of the thing. I think part of my trepidation is Joe Pavelski and you know, the fact that it's almost like it's Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin and, you know, John Klingberg. Like, that's like, you know, kind of like the old guard. It's almost like they're at a crossroads. That's what it feels like for the Dallas Stars for me. They're at a crossroads with their talent and with their lines. That being said, yeah, I want to trust Jason Robertson, but in lieu of that, like, you have to automatically have to be trusting his teammates and a Joe Pavelski that is just increasingly more and more improbable.
He's going to be 38 this year.
It's 92. Joe Pavelski is 92 years old out there smoking stogies and just scoring goals on the ice. Like, I don't know how he does it, but he just keeps on doing it.
15 points in his last 9 games. Looking at him right now.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Okay, moving on. TJ Oshie, he's out again. He's out with an upper body. Oh my God.
What's that?
What's wrong with me? He's out with an upper body injury that he suffered last game, early in the game. He was reaching up to grab a puck out of the air, and it seemed like he like tweaked his shoulder. And so far this year, he has missed 20 games out of a possible 38 for a whole myriad of reasons, whether it be COVID, non-COVID illness, injury, all sorts of stuff. While he's been on the ice, he's been moderately productive, but is this going to be a lost season for TJ Oshie?
Sure seems like it. He can't catch a break. And it's too bad because, I mean, Ovi's having, you know, a year like he hasn't had in a while. And Washington's been
somehow
good,
but he's still 79% owned. How is TJ Oshie still 79% owned when he has only played 20 games out of 38?
I don't know, man. People are high on Washington, I guess. But yeah, Oshie hasn't played much in a row at all.
I don't get it.
He's got to be frustrating a lot of people this year.
All right. Next up, Sonny Milano. He left the game last night against the Wild after getting an inadvertent elbow to the mouth. And like, it was a real good elbow. It was flush, if you will. So I hope it wasn't too serious of an injury, but I did see it happen, and it was for real. So I hope he was just being kept out for like precautionary reasons. But their next game isn't until Wednesday against Colorado, so he does have, you know, some time to heal things up. But I hope it's not like a broken jaw or something like that that we're going to find out about. I hope it's not like a bad concussion or anything like that. So we're going to find out more. I'm looking forward to it because that's my boy.
Yeah, and he's having a season too.
Eric Chernak, he got hurt blocking a shot. He got hurt being Eric Chernak. He was blocking a shot the other day against you, Rog. You know, it was against Vancouver, so thanks a bunch, dude. He's definitely been worth like a pickup and definitely more in a lot of like Yahoo leagues where he's getting you those periffs because his periffs are super solid. Now, he does kind of fall half backwards into, you know, points sometimes, but the periffs are there. I like Eric Chernak, so he's out, but I expect him to, you know, come back soon. Hopefully it's not like a broken bone, but that shit hurts like a bitch when you get hit like right in the side of the foot with a puck and it's coming at the speed that these guys are shooting it at. Man, that's gotta hurt, because I've had my foot blow up when you take it out of a skate before, and like, those are just normal people shooting pucks. Like, you know what I mean? Once it comes out of the skate, Raj, it doesn't go back in. It just blows up like a freaking watermelon. Okay, notable COVID additions is, you know, how I've been finishing these out. These are just new ones and, you know, just guys that are, you know, more notable. Connor Garland, one of your boys, he got put on the list today, I believe. John Carlson is out. Andre Kasha out again. This man cannot stay on the ice. And Troy Terry. And I put that one on there because, you know, Troy Terry has been cooling off a little bit. But his offense not being on the ice for Anaheim is very visible in their gameplay. They don't play the same kind of game when Troy Terry is not playing in the game. They just play very different. So I'm looking forward to Troy Terry being back.
I mean, he's been the catalyst for the whole team this year. He's been incredible.
He is. He's the spark plug. Yeah. He gives Zegras, you know, the chance to do all of his bullshit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Zegras is going to be, we'll see what he's made of. I mean, they have a couple days off, like you mentioned, but without Milano and without Terry, Zegras is going to be, he's going to be awful lonesome out there.
Yeah, now he's going to have to shoulder the load. It's going to be a little bit harder. Okay, Raj, that does it for the injury report for me. I say we talk about some schedules.
What's happening? I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. That would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. We lost some people this week, and we need to sort of play catch-up. Thanks.
I definitely alluded to the fact earlier, I like a lot of these schedules because of the very beginning of their week. There is a ton of back-to-backs. Those back-to-backs are Buffalo, Los Angeles, Montreal, Nashville, New York, Islanders, that is, and Philly. All have back-to-backs to start the week Monday, Tuesday.
As we were talking about off the top, it's so important just to make sure you're taking things a few days at a time, because that's another guy you just brought up. My pickup for today was Garland, right? Like, picked him up last night after the games were done, stayed up till midnight to get my West Coast advantage and make the move at midnight. And then by the morning, he's got COVID and he's out. So you got to try to take things one day at a time, essentially. But there's definitely some good back-to-backs to start the week off. Quite a few teams have four games. There's not a lot of off nights next week, not a lot of teams with too many off nights. I think overall next week, I really like Colorado's schedule. They don't have the back-to-back to start, but they do have Monday against Minnesota, then Wednesday against Anaheim. As we just mentioned, Anaheim is missing a few key players. They don't have a ton of depth, so missing a couple of key guys really weakens the team. Then they've got Los Angeles and Montreal next week. So they do have three games in the first four nights. Minnesota's pretty decent, but, I mean, those are four pretty winnable games for Colorado, especially the way they've been playing. I mean, the bummer about Colorado, like we talked about last week a little bit, is just everybody's very aware of how much they score, and so it's tough to find guys. I'm gonna have to go back to my usual Colorado streamer, which is Valerie Nikushkin, left wing, right wing.
Shoosh.
25% owned. You know, he's got 17 points in 22 games this year. The guy hits a couple of times a game. He shoots, you know, almost three times a game on the season. So he's a solid bet across most categories. He's not a lights out kind of light him up kind of guy, but he's there, he's available. And when they have a schedule like that, I really like Nichushkin.
How can you not? And then our my regular favorite of Burakovsky, and I still say that he is a just go check.
Yeah.
He's only 75% owned. That's a perfect point. He is less owned than TJ Oshie. And Andre Burakovsky is fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. He's 30 points in 33 games this year. The guy's he's pretty automatic. Like Colorado, you know, same thing we said going into the weekend. Like if you can get anyone near the top six whatsoever on Colorado, or
you got to jump on it.
Yeah, I mean, the other guy there that is potentially gettable if you're in need of peripherals, of course, is Eric Johnson. Great for hits and blocks, not too great for points, but he does stumble into points from time to time. He's more of the defensive end of things there.
Well, when they're scoring, you know, seven goals a game, it's, you know, you can fall backwards into a point or two.
That is true.
You just happen to be on the ice. I gave the puck to this guy, and then he passed it to, you know, McKinnon, and he scored a goal. Good for you. You got an assist.
This year, it's just fire the puck in Kadri's direction, and something good's about to happen, you know. And, I mean, last week's big hot streak.
Nicholas Aubin-Kubel.
Yeah, he had a 4-game streak there where he was hitting and scoring and all kinds of things. That seems to have come to an end. Not like we really expected that to go on, but he hasn't got a point in the last couple.
Oh, he hasn't gotten a point in the last 2 games. So sorry, Rod. Jeez, so sorry, man.
He does have 5 hits, but...
He's done. He's done. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Dude, he's still hitting. I still like him. He's not a bad player.
He's a shooter.
Don't get me wrong. I want somebody that's in the top 6 and somebody that's on the power play in Colorado. But, I mean, Aubin-Kubel isn't horrible, man. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, he's not horrible. I mean, he's only playing, he's down to 12 minutes and 11 minutes in the last couple of games. So, but against these weak teams, I wouldn't fault anybody for streaming him for the front half of the week this week.
Okay, so speaking of weak teams and early week streamers, I like this Philly Islanders home and home. They play in New York on Monday night, and then they play in Philly where they're, you know, both making up a game, I'm to understand, you know, fitting one in here, and they play on Tuesday then in Philly. So... two people I like, one from each team, and one guy that I picked up, you know, a little while ago, probably last week, and I've held on to him for, you know, at least a week, if not more than that, Joel Farabee. Joel Farabee is only 22% owned. This last 10 games is pretty much how his season is going. He has 4 goals and 3 assists. He is at about a 70, you know, percent, you know, or a point, 0.7 points per game is actually how I'll put that. You know what I mean? He's scoring at a 0.7 points per game pace. I like that. And I like Joel Farabee. He has been in that top 6 right now. Now, when they get fully healthy and everybody is back up on the Flyers, then we'll see where Farabee lands. But he's playing pretty well in this little span and for this year in general. So I like him. And then for the Islanders, I think it could be a decent time to pick up Anders Lee because he is only 37% owned. Now, that's because he has been having a crappy and down year. But when you have a home and home against Philly, even though that is my team, I'm fully aware of what Philly is capable of. And that is making other teams look really fucking good. So Anders Lee could, you know, come out of this slump a little bit for this home and home and get some points against Philly. Like I said, he's only 37% owned. So I think it is definitely, it's at least worth a look. You know what I mean? For the first 2 days. Fuck yeah.
Absolutely. And I think, like, you know, the Islanders have just had a shit go all season long in terms of games played. They've got by far the least games played. I think they're at 30 games. They've got 10 games in hand on some teams. So you can't really fault them for being just fucking garbage. So I wouldn't be surprised if some guys start to come out of their slumps. There is a couple of interesting guys there. Like you said, Anders Lee's always a good pickup, especially when he's down at 37% owned. This is one TJ called last time we talked to him was Noah Dobson. 33% rostered now, but he's been getting the playing time. He's been getting the power play time. He's got 5 points in the last 5, 2 on the power play. So Noah Dobson's definitely somebody I'd be comfy picking up, especially for that back-to-back.
Yeah, but if I'm going by the Raj level of statistics, he hasn't scored any points in his last 2 games, Raj. So that means you're fucking out of here. You're done for. I'm only saying that really because I picked Severson in that pick, and Severson got put on COVID protocol.
That's true.
So he's been out not playing. But hey, I'll tell you what, they're scoring the exact same amount of points right now. 0.
Last couple of games, that's true. That's true. Islanders do tend to do better against bad teams, shockingly enough.
I wonder why that is.
Even though, you know, nobody's been really scoring too much, I do like, you know, a Wahlstrom still shoots a bunch. He's got 14 shots in the last 3 games. He's up around 5 shots a game right now. Nothing going in the net, apparently, but he looks to be trying to break out of a slump. I'm usually not too high on the Islanders, but a back-to-back to start the week's a good opportunity. Do you notice that Chara's still playing 20 minutes?
He's the Daniel Chara, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, he doesn't do much in stats, but he stands out there and makes everybody have to skate a long ways around him. In terms of Philly, where are you at on Travis Konecny? He's got 5 points in the last 7 games. All in all, his season has been dump, and he's down to 28% owned.
Then I am definitely in.
So he's very pick-upable. I mean, we're kind of talking shit about Philly right now in this matchup, but I mean, in the other direction, the Islanders are not the hottest team in the league this year either. You know what, though? I think Philly is a far better team than they have let people see this year. In just about every way. I mean, you got guys that are starting to come on. Farabee is not doing too bad. Cam Atkinson still at a point per game in the last couple of weeks. Lindblom is actually starting to put up some points in the last few games. He's got 7 points in the last 9, only 1% owned. I don't know how confident you are in a Lindblom, but Konechny, I've always loved the guy, and I've been burned for the last year, but I'm still waiting. He still hits 5 points in 7, so I think he might be worth a look.
I mean, and a lot of people are available too, like even like their top players, like Claude Giroux is 77% owned. You know what I mean? He's available in 23% of leagues and is playing a back-to-back on Monday and Tuesday. You know what I mean? Oh, Cam Atkinson. Atkinson is like owned in like the 60s.
Yep.
So he's owned in like 37-38% or available in 37-38% of leagues. All I'm saying is their guys are available and they're playing back to backs. So it's not bad.
On a side note, there's been a lot of rumors about Giroux possibly being a rental at the end of the season. You think there's any truth to that? You think they would dump Giroux?
I hope not. I really do. I hope not. I would be pretty upset. I would be, you know, happy for him and not happy all at the same time. Like, I would have mixed emotions, to say the least. I mean, he's been on my team for a long time. I have, like, 3 Claude Giroux jerseys. Like, yeah, I would be affected. I would be affected, to say the least. So I hope they don't trade him, because I want him to get 1,000 games too.
Yeah, and he's so much of like the identity of that team, right? Like without him, he is the Flyer right now. So I hope he stays for the team's sake. But you know, he is a guy to keep an eye on, because if somebody picks him up for a cup run, he ends up in the right place. He might be a guy to have your eyes on for fantasy playoffs.
If they do trade him, I hope they don't trade him to a team that I hate.
You can almost guarantee that it will happen. Another team that we've mentioned here who is in a much different boat than Philly or the Islanders is Florida. Florida has just been the best team in the league recently.
They're kicking tits, to say the least.
I'm looking at the last 30 days here, the last 9 games for Florida, and in the last 9 games,
they've scored 9,000 goals.
Huberdeau's got 20 points in the last 9 games. Huberdeau's actually the best player in the league for the last month. There is a couple of guys. I mean, we sure made out well making some choices in Florida for this weekend for Hagee and such. So I think the same guys are still in play. You've got Duclair is only 66% owned. He's solid most of the time, definitely worth a pickup. Anton Lundell still putting up points, basically not owned. And Verhaeghe still gettable at 60%, playing around a point per game, shoots 3 times a game.
I drafted him.
He's great.
I drafted him. I like him a lot. I don't know what is there not to like.
He gets such little respect. I don't know what the deal is.
And he never gives you nothing. Like, you never get 0 points for him playing a game. Like, it doesn't happen.
No. I mean, he does. He's playing with the big guys in the top 6 there, and he's very consistent. I don't know. He gets no love, but he's an excellent pickup.
He had 8 shots on goal. He had 8 shots on goal last game.
Yeah.
He did that in under 14 minutes time on ice.
That's our guy. Yeah, I like him a lot. In terms of other guys who are available,
get this man 2 more minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. Who else? Is anybody else you like there? I mean, we kind of covered them pretty well on the last episode. I mean, Gudas is the Hitmaster 2000. You can always pick him up if you need to catch up on hits. You can basically do that in one day if you can get your hands on a Gudas. Beyond that, though, most people are catching on to how amazing Florida's playing. This might be the season.
It'd be hard not to catch on.
Florida is the perennial hipster pick for the last 5 years or so. This is such a stacked team. This is going to be their year. This is going to be their year. And I think this is turning into the year of Florida. And you know that they're going to play the games because it's in Florida and they don't shut down for shit. So
fuck yeah. This team, I know you're not a big fan of Buffalo or any of their players, and I don't totally blame you. But I think it is worth saying that, you know, Tage Thompson, you know, is a good player, and he is only 23% owned. He is the one guy that if you want to pick up somebody from Buffalo, he's the guy, in my opinion. He helps you out with hits and blocks. He's a huge son of a bitch. He is a BFG, like, for sure, and shoots a ton. And he shoots a ton. He has 5 points in his last 5 games. You know, he could easily give you a goose egg because they get shut out every 3 or 4 games. But still, Tage Thompson is good for some points every now and then. Luckily, he's not a goalie because they lose all the time. But that at least means that, hey, he's going to keep on shooting because he's trying to make up a lead.
He's going to be shooting and he's playing a ton because it's Buffalo. They don't have a bunch of options. And you know what? The matchups are not bad. They've got Detroit and Ottawa. So neither team is a defensive brick wall or anything like that. So
yeah, they have another one of those back-to-backs on Monday, Tuesday.
Everybody's favorite pickup, Jeff Skinner, 4 goals in the last 6 games.
I don't suggest picking up Jeff Skinner. I don't care if he has 8 goals in the last 1 game. I'm not picking up Jeff Skinner because fuck
him. I'm not emotionally ready to handle owning Jeff Skinner.
No.
He is there. I mean, if you need a goal, he is a possibility. And then get yourself the hell out of Buffalo after Tuesday, though.
Get the hell out of Dodge.
That's a decent start to the week. Couple of weak defensive teams. So you could look to Buffalo. I mean, fuck, even Dolan is only 65% owned. You could try that. You could try, I don't know.
It's like waking up and going pee, man. Shooting your shot. Hope you hear water, man.
Yeah, I mean, so Buffalo is there. You can venture into Buffalo if you dare. Another team, sort of not quite as bad as Buffalo, but L.A., L.A. has been one of those teams who's showed signs of having some offense this year. Shines of brightness here and there.
And then sometimes they take a seat.
Sometimes they definitely take a seat. Kempe is out with COVID right now, and he's been a big part of their top six in the last year or two. Trevor Moore. I don't know what's up there. He's up to 17 minutes. Well, about 18 minutes now. And he is on a tear. Since coming back, since their postponed games, he's well over a point per game. It's weird. Trevor Moore, who'd have thunk? 12 points in his last 10, over a hit a game, just about 3 shots a game. LA doesn't have much of a power play to speak of, but he's a part of it. So I'm down. He's 9% owned. I would stream Trevor Moore for whatever reason. He's really good right now. And with Kempe out, there's going to be an extra 18 minutes, 19 minutes in that top six available to be made up by these guys like that. So I'm pretty good on Trevor Moore, actually. I don't know.
I personally, this morning, picked up Dustin Brown before the games got played today, so that I could have him for free for 2 games next week.
Nice.
Now, Dustin Brown, he's only playing like 11, 12 minutes a game right now, but he has been scoring points, and he's been shooting a lot lately. Now, he is on the third line. Now, I don't know that I really want to say him as a suggestion, but what I will say, and don't hold it against me, but I picked him up. I personally picked him up because I have a feeling about Dustin Brown. If you had the same feeling, then let's do it, boys.
I would be in. He missed some time. I mean, they had the postponed games, and then when the team came back, he was still out for a few games. But since he's been back, he's been point a game for the last 5. He's about 3 shots a game, about 2 hits a game. So he's back to the old Dustin Brown for the time being. And he's 9% owned. Like we said, with Kempe out of that top six, he's probably going to be the guy who re-enters the top six and gets his minutes goosed back up again. So, you know, they do have the San Jose game. The problem is the next 2 games are against Tampa and Colorado. So that it is a tough schedule.
Still games played. There are games, still games played.
And if Dustin Brown is getting minutes, he's a stat machine. So I'm in for that. I'm in for that one. Arvidsson, another good choice on LA, still doing fairly well. 8 points over his last 10. He's only 39% owned, left wing, right wing. So he's another option. He's been relatively good, shooting a lot. Guy does not hit. I don't know if he has a hit this season, but he does shoot a lot, and he does put up some points. Deneau, Philip Deneau, I don't know. He's all right. He is getting some playing time. He is putting up goals like he didn't do back when he was in Montreal. Got a little more offensive talent around him now. So he's been a source of goals for them lately. He doesn't shoot a ton by nature, but he over the last 8 games, he's got a decent amount of shots. But a lot of the times right now, it is about getting games played. And LA has had 2 spells of being quite surprising this season. Downside of them is it does seem to just go away unexpectedly as well.
Okay, so the main other team that I like their schedule for is Nashville. They play 3 games in the first 4 days. That's St. Louis, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. Now, I mean, it's not the easiest trip, but Nashville has been playing pretty decent lately. And I love that back-to-back to start. Then I still get a third game out of, 4 days. I still dig it. My number one there, for some reason, and this is another one of those things where I just kind of have a feeling, it's Luke Kunin.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Kunin's been playing really well lately. Like, he's just flying all over the ice. Now, he's real hit or miss, don't get me wrong. Like, he's either going to get you a goal or nothing, pretty much, it almost seems like, lately. But this motherfucker hits,
dude. He does hit.
He hits. He got 22 hits in his last 5 games. And he gets a decent amount of ice and ice time.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy that, is a middle sixer and does a lot of, switching back between the second and third line, I still like Luke Kunin. I like his style of game. Think that he's a good pickup. By the way, he's incredibly available. I don't even know what it is, but I'm pretty sure it's below 10%.
Up to 10% now.
Oh, it's 10%? Oh. Oh, snap. I was wrong. I was going to say below 10% because I thought it was like 9. But yeah, man, Luke Kunin.
I like him. And you know what? That is the type of player Nashville has been pulling out lately. Like, he hits. He's very capable player. He's really good. High intensity player. He's also tri-eligible. Center, left wing, right wing. So, that's always handy for a streamer to be able to slide them in and out of your different spots in your lineup. Another guy sort of similar is the rookie sensation, Tanner Jeannot.
Mm-hmm.
7 points in his last 10 games. 5 of them are goals, but he also has 41 hits. So he's over 4 hits a game as a rookie who's an offensive talent. He is pretty volatile. He's always going to hit for you. And he has no points in 2 games, which you know how I feel about that. But with a back-to-back coming against St. Louis and Vancouver, and then they have Winnipeg and Detroit. Yeah, that you can score on those teams. You can score on those teams. Like we always say, he's never going to leave you with nothing. Even if he doesn't score, he's going to probably get you 4 or 5 hits. So I'm a big Tanner Jeannot fan.
Other than that, I mean, there are other players that are available. Tolvanen is actually also really available at 17%.
Mm-hmm.
I still do like him. I'm not just off of Tolvanen. He hasn't been playing great this year, but he has shown that he has an elite shot. He's been hitting like a madman lately, where he has been getting points, but he is, really laying on the perisp for you. He's getting a decent amount of time on ice, and you know that he can do it. You've seen him make fantastic shots. Like, he has an elite shot on him. So I expect that to come back at some point in time. When, I don't know. But like I said, they have 3 games in 4 days. I would be willing to, try him out for sure.
I'll always take a shot at Tolvanen, and I love that guy. And yeah, he can pop off for a couple goals in a night, any given night. And what's crazy? Those 3 guys we mentioned, Kunin, Tolvanen, Tanner Jeannot, are the hits leaders for that team. They're the top 3 hits leaders, and they're also 3 of their best offensive players. So great.
Well, they're all guys that I like on that team.
Absolutely.
Surprise, surprise.
Absolutely.
Is there anyone else, Rog, that you like you know, as far as teams go. And I'm talking about more for like early week kind of stuff. The only other, you know, I know Montreal has 3 games in 4 days. But in all honesty, I don't know that I'm really trying to pick up a lot of Montreal players, even though they do start off against Arizona. It's all on a road trip. They got Colorado at the end of the week. Montreal actually has a really hard week, even though they have 4 games.
Yeah.
And it's top heavy at the beginning of the week. So in all honesty, I'm not huge on Montreal, even though they have those games played.
Yeah, the only thing I would think is if you need something, you could get something from Montreal for Monday, Tuesday, but later in the week they play Vegas and then Colorado. So
yeah,
you could maybe take someone on Montreal for Arizona, Dallas to start the week. You know you don't want any of their goalies. The one guy actually who I did gamble on over the weekend and get a point out of is I picked up Jeff Petrie because everybody's dropped him at this point. He's been so terrible.
I mean, that's a solid pickup. I mean, I'm down with that pickup.
I mean, dude was running for the Norris last year, and he's down to 37% owned now because he just had such a garbage start. But he did get a goal in his return, and you know he's going to get you some peripherals. So like a Jeff Petrie for a Monday, Tuesday to get your peripherals started could be a thing. But man, Montreal is just such a pile.
Well, they just don't score, man. That's the problem. And that's why I'm not picking up Canadiens players. I mean, maybe they'll score, you know, in that Arizona game. But there's just so many other teams and so many other players that are going to be having back-to-back. So I don't see why you would pick somebody on a team that in their last 10 games has only scored over 3 goals once.
I will sum up Montreal for everybody right now. In the last 30 days, their leading scorer is Sami Niku with 3 assists.
That's awful.
He is 0% owned. So their leading scorer in the last month is a 0% owned third string defenseman. That's how Montreal is doing. He is outscoring Cole Caulfield. He is outscoring Nick Suzuki. God, those guys are playing. Caulfield, Suzuki, those guys are playing hockey games and just... They are, oh, gross,
man. I mean, they're going to figure it out at some point in time. They're a young team, so, I mean, they're going to be okay in the long run, but it might not be this year. It's just not this year.
I feel so bad for Nick Suzuki. The guy is playing 22 minutes a night this season. He's playing more than most of their defensemen, and he's had such a bright start. Like, last year and the year before, he was just on such a great trajectory, and then they took away all of his players. Took away his goalies, took away his Hall of Fame defenseman, and just left this poor kid out there to die on his own. 1 goal since the start of December. Like, I don't know, man. They're in last place. They're below Arizona now in points. That hurts.
But I think that Montreal has a brighter future.
Oh, for sure. Let me just make
that clear.
Yes, sure.
In the standings, they are lower than Arizona, but I trust Montreal to make better moves in the future to turn this thing around much faster than Arizona is going to. I expect them to at least have some a semblance of a team next year where they, you know, didn't really pan out this year. And I get that.
Yeah.
But I think they have too much in the pipeline to be bad for years to come. So I'm taking this as a one-off. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in a lot of their players this year, but they could very well end up with, like, you know, going, I could see them being like a worst of first kind of thing. Like, that wouldn't surprise me. Making the playoffs next year after being the worst team this year. Something cool like that.
Yeah, for the most part, it's pretty understandable. You take away a Hall of Fame goalie who's been the core of the team for over a decade. You take away a Hall of Fame defenseman. You know, it makes sense why they're so bad, but the bottom line is they are so bad. And they don't have Toffoli. They don't have Josh Anderson. They don't have Brendan Gallagher. Yeah, it's just, it's they don't have a player with 20 points yet.
Philip Deneau is gone. Just all of their, you know, everything that they were for how long, they're like, oh, we got these good young players. Let's just do a cut and dry switch. And it didn't work out right off the bat. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. All right, Raj, I feel like that might be it.
I think that's it. I mean, we'll be back for a midweek. I think our Tuesday trends is kind of going to turn into more of like a midweek's pickup kind of episode, the way things are going, trying to
cool
keep our picks freshened up every couple of days while we wait for this. And everyone should be looking ahead to the February when they start rescheduling some of these games. You might want to look ahead a little bit to some of these teams who are, you know, Islanders and such, some of the Canadian teams who are, you know, 10 games behind. They're going to have thick schedules in a couple of weeks. And as of right now, Yahoo is talking about making it that whole month is being 1 week. So it's, as of right now, Yahoo has it as a 4-week week. So keep an eye, and we'll update that obviously in the coming days here, but you might want to just look ahead and see who might have some thick schedules and start trying to pocket some players for that upcoming month here.
Raj, if you don't stop calling them thick schedules, I'm going to get aroused over here. So please stop doing that. Right.
We better go. I better let you go have some alone time with that.
Okay. So you can find us on the Discord. You can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. Join the Discord, by the way. It's a lot of fun. You just do a lot of talking and messing around. There's a whole bunch of different rooms in there that you can talk stuff on. And it's a cool place to be. We can be rated on Spotify now, which is pretty cool. Go rate us. Don't give us 1 star. That'll hurt my feelings. It makes me have a bad day when stuff like that happens and Raj tells me about it. I don't like it. So I think that about does it. Raj, everybody, love yous.
Love you.